Well, good morning. Here we are, June 28th. You're in the camera, dear.
I know.
Oh, this is Rhonda. You need to come sit here in person. We can really have some good times. So I do all the harassing and joking before the TV comes on. So anyhow, today we are on the 28th, which is the last Sunday of June. And I figured it out on just a few days ago, Thursday. It's exactly 6 months till Christmas. So you who are getting ready to go shopping need to start looking for your bargains. Yeah, don't wait till the last minute, you know. You can get started right now. Today's lesson is only one gospel. Now, we think, okay, that's, you know, kind of irrelevant. You know, it should be understood that there's only one gospel. Well, we have Paul writing to the church at Galatia, and a couple of things about Galatia. It was the early church, and it was part of modern-day Turkey, and Paul wrote this letter during the heat of controversy. Things were not going well in Galatia. So what happens is Paul, they don't know when this letter was written. It could have been written on his first missionary journey, his second, or his third. So they don't really know which one of them, but Paul goes to Galatia, and he's preaching to them, and he preaches faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and the only requirement for a person to receive salvation and a permanent relationship with God is Jesus Christ. Boom, end of story. That's the gospel. Well, there was this group of individuals who were Judaizers. Judaizers were people who followed Paul. They didn't dare go into a town whenever he was there, because he would totally just pull apart their teachings. And they would follow Paul, and they would get the people by Jews who opposed Paul. But he survived and continued his ministry. That was in Lystra. They had him stoned and left him for dead. You know, Paul must have really been a person who stirred, you either loved him or hated him. And the people who hated him wanted to kill him. So it wasn't, I don't like the guy. It was an outright hatred for him. But what happened was the Judaizers said that you could be saved by Jesus Christ, but you had to observe the Old Testament laws, and you had to do some of the Jewish festivals. That you had to have some of those mixed in with your faith in order to be saved, or in order for Christ, for you to be a Christian. So when Paul is writing this, he's writing to the church in Galatia that he has been with, he has been there, he has taught them. He taught them. You can delete that one. Teach them. He taught them the gospel of Christ. And one of the things we find that Paul, these Judaizers, they were trying to discredit Paul. And they said, well, he's not really an apostle. You know, to be an apostle, you have to have seen Christ. Well, Paul saw Christ on the road to Damascus. And so if you're looking at this, you have the disciples, and the disciples are in Jerusalem primarily, Peter, Paul, and Mary. They're all they're in Jerusalem. And they make up the high council or whatever of the church. And they're, you know, trying to put all this together in Jerusalem. That's where you have the widows and taking care of the widows and the orphans and those who can't take care of themselves. They're, you know, doing all this outreach in Jerusalem, and there are thousands of people who believe in Christ as their Savior. Well, a lot of them got scattered whenever Paul was Saul of Tarsus, and he was persecuting them, throwing them in prison, even having some of them killed. But, so Paul now is out on these missionary journeys, he and Barnabas. They're out on these missionary journeys, and they are going to these communities, and they are preaching the gospel of Christ, and there are people who are giving their life to Christ, and Paul's trying to ground them in the scriptures. And then after he leaves, then comes the Judaizers and say, yeah, Paul, he's not really an apostle. He doesn't really have a market on the truth. The truth is, you know, Jesus, you have to believe in him, but you have to keep the laws. You have to keep the law of Moses, and you know, you have to keep certain Jewish festivals, and you have to, you know, because Christianity is just a division of Judaism. And so Paul hears this, and that's where we have the letter, okay? So that's the background for the letter. Paul begins, Paul begins by setting forth his credentials. All right, I'm going to make sure I have important all over this little paragraph. Important. Paul begins by setting forth his credentials as an apostle with a message from God. So he's letting the people know that he is an apostle from God. Now remember, apostle is somebody who's been with Jesus, okay? Well, Paul was not with Jesus, but he did meet him on the road to Damascus. And the other thing is, Paul spent 3 years in Arabia alone, and God was teaching him. Now, when people tell me, you know, there were a while ago, maybe 30 years ago or whatever, people were saying they didn't need to go to school, they didn't need any biblical training, because they were going to go and spend time with God, and they were going to hear directly from God, not some commentator and some denominational, considered denominational foundational truths. They weren't going to listen to that. And so you could tell that they were out in left field, and they were going to go over the wall. Not for a home run, but a foul ball. They were going to be off course entirely, because they looked at what happened to Paul, and so they're saying, God's going to do the same thing for me. It didn't work. So there's nothing wrong with going and spending time with Christ and praying and, you know, meditating on the scriptures. But to think the person's going to have a personal revelation by God to go into the community and preach a new message, it just doesn't work. So, Paul begins by setting forth his credentials, an apostle, with a message from God. Blessings come from God on the basis of faith, not law. So, the people were saying, you keep the law and God will bless you. Paul is saying, it's by grace you're saved through faith. The blessing of God comes through faith. So, the law declares men guilty and imprisons them. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes in Jerusalem, they were, you know, constantly taking the law and using it against people, that they weren't good enough. You know, they weren't good enough. They had to do more. They had to keep more of the laws. And, you know, they just had this arrogant attitude, and they would throw people in prison. And, you know, if you were caught carrying something on the Sabbath, you know, they put you in prison. So it just wasn't what Paul was saying. So faith sets men free from to enjoy the liberty in Christ, but liberty is not license, meaning there are restrictions. Freedom in Christ means freedom to produce the fruits of righteousness through the Spirit-led lifestyle. So Paul's defense of the gospel is basically twofold: the truth that salvation is by the grace of Christ alone, and Paul had authority as an apostle of Christ. So those are the two foundational principles Paul is operating from and whenever he's writing this letter to the people in Galatia. So, verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So, his opening word is, I am an apostle. Why is he saying that? Because the Judaizers were in Galatia and these surrounding areas saying, he's not an apostle. You don't need to listen to him. We got the truth. It's like, okay, so you're an apostle. No, but we've heard from the not Paul. So they were just hammering Paul and trying to get the people to leave faith in Christ and go back to being part of the law. Because if you are if Christianity is just an outbreak of Judaism, then you still have to go to the temple. You still have to bring sacrifices. You still have to pay the temple tax. You still have to bring the lambs or buy the lambs at the temple for this to go on. So the Judaizers were individuals, I think, sent out from the temple and the high priest and the people in the temple, because they were going to lose lots of money. And so they wanted to discredit Paul. And all the brethren, verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the opening words of this letter, Paul asserts his apostleship was not from men. So I am not an apostle because of anyone else. Now, today's, in our denomination, we don't have apostles and bishops. Well, I guess we could have bishops. But an apostle is one who has seen Christ, and there's only 12, 12 apostles. But some denominations have that as a designation of ministry, an apostle. So they confer that title on them. We don't do that. We have reverend, and we have pastor. We have sectional leaders. We have district council presidents, secretaries. But we don't have these titles which were brought to the, that were part of the Old Testament law and the Old Testament church. The Old Testament, it's not a church, but the Old Testament beliefs. That were very much a part of the system. So Paul asserts that his apostleship was not from men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. This was his reply to some Galatians, some among the Galatians, who charged that he was not an apostle. One of the qualifying statements for an apostle was to have seen the resurrected Christ. There we go. So Paul's conversion and call on the road to Damascus, he had heard and seen the risen Savior. So when Christ appeared to Paul on that road, he's on the ground. And Christ Jesus is speaking to him and saying, hey, it's hard for you to kick against these pricks, And a prick was that bar, a wooden, what is it? No, I'm going to say like a 2x4 that's 8 feet long, and they had wooden spikes in it. So whenever the animal would kick, they would kick the spikes, which were pricks. And that, so the animal would hurt itself when it was kicking. And if you've ever been kicked by a cow, you know that you like those little bars. We had kickers, and we had one cow, I still remember, her name was Shotgun, and she could kick, I tell you. So we put kickers on her. These were chain, it was a chain with a piece of metal that went behind her leg, and kept them in front, and it would fit over the back of her leg, so when she would kick, it wouldn't go very far. But you did that, or you got leveled. And so I think she turned into Hamburg. After my dad got kicked so many times, his patience with her was over. So she found a ride on the truck. So Jesus says that to Paul, it's hard for you to kick against this, against what I'm about, against who I am. So it's those pricks. So Paul's conversion caught on the road to Damascus. In Galatians 1, this fact is implied by Paul's reference to the fact that God had raised Christ from the dead. So he was an apostle. He saw Jesus, right, and he was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ appeared to Paul when he was traveling on the road to Damascus, and God then commissioned him to be an apostle in repudiating the claims of the Judaizers. So it was like Paul is a genius. I mean, he's just an absolute authority. And the reason we know this is when he is Saul of Tarsus, and he's going through the ranks of the Pharisees. He's rising. He keeps all the laws. He keeps everything. He knows what they are. And he was schooled under the finest teacher, Gamaliel. And so he's an absolute genius, Paul. So whenever he is converted to Christ, he work together. This is whenever he's in Arabia. That God and he are working together, he is able to fit these things of the Old Testament into the New. And what Peter and Paul and the rest of the apostles, what they learned in 3 years, Paul learned in 3 years by the Holy Spirit, by Christ, and out in the desert of Arabia. So who gave himself, speaking about Jesus, we have the end of verse 3, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So he's setting up the message, setting up the what he's going to write to the people here in Galatia. So Paul himself provides a marvelous example for us to follow in contending for the truth of the gospel. The New Testament is the full, all-sufficient sacrifice of Christ. Nevertheless, when Paul was talking, he said Paul's testimony was that he had been crucified with Christ. That was his testimony, that he had died with Christ, meaning he had died to his old way of life, and he had risen to a new life, and his name was changed from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. And he writes in Galatians 2:20, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So Paul is, he's putting this out there for the Galatians and the Judaizers, that basically he knows what he's doing and he is an apostle, and God has placed him in this position. So so like his fellow Jews, Paul divided time into two categories, this age and the age to come. But two ages were modified by the first coming of Christ. We'll go on. The present age is ruled in part by sin, death, and demonic powers. But the atoning death of Christ needs no supplement for deliverance and salvation. So Paul is putting into words what the present age is, and that the spirit of this present age is demonic. Satan, prince of power of the air, but he's saying the atoning death of Christ is supreme to all of that that is going on in our world. So Christ's death on the cross remains sufficient to deliver us daily from the present evil age. So he's putting that in place there. Now, if you were the Judaizers, you were saying, you were telling the people, there isn't enough to take care of the devil. You gotta believe and do these things. You know, go to the temple, you know, keep the law, offer sacrifices, and still believe in Jesus, but you gotta do all this other stuff. Doesn't work. Don't need to. So Paul talks about there is no other gospel. So this is chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So what is Paul saying? I can't believe you guys gave up so quickly. It's like the Judaizers come to town and you go, yeah, well, what about what I told you? This is contrary to what I told you. And you didn't even put up a fight. You just, yeah, we'll take care of that. Well, Paul says, no. He's saying that you can't do that. This is a lie. You can't accept this. Well, we'll just mix it in with what we believe and it'll be okay. Nope, it didn't work that way. So the grace of Christ, okay, called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They are troublemakers, these Judaizers. They are not there to take care of you and uplift you spiritually. They are there to bring confusion. You know? And sometimes people are just confusing. They bring confusion into the church, and we'll just let that one go. But I have illustrations, but I'll let it go. Okay, gotta get that out of your head. Okay, next, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So Paul's telling them, there is no other gospel. What we believe of Jesus and what I taught you about him is the foundation and is the principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who saves you from your sin and puts your name in his book of life, and you have eternal life. And we find that if there's another gospel, sometimes people in these television evangelists and some of the mega churches, they have kind of a different gospel. The one preacher, his thing is he doesn't have any negative sermons. And what's a negative sermon? Well, sin. he doesn't talk about sin in his sermons because that's negative. And he wants his church to grow, and he wants them to have this positive message, you know. And sorry, we had an interrupter. Someday we're going to pan over there, you know, so everybody can see who this is. You know, that's the interrupter. It's a good interruption. So there is no other gospel, and it's surprising. Now, if another one, there's a mega church out in the Midwest, and there were people who went into that church, and in the middle of a service, stood up and denounced the whole place and denounced the pastor and just ripped him apart. And it was like, and there was a big upheaval, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, they have 5,000-6,000 people in the congregation, and somebody walks up on a platform and just, lambaste the pastor. And most of it, we're way out here, so. But most of it is that the others in the region, the other churches in the region, can't understand how this guy can have, two or three services with 6,000 people in a service and then have satellite churches at both ends of town and have thousands of people in there. So, what's his secret? He must not be doing it right. Okay, so they go in and just, it's like, can't you just be happy for the guy? Because he's really, he's a really good guy. So anyhow, there's the conflict in churches. Conflict in churches is when the pastors who, I'm not going to preach on sin, so that individual is basically taking part of the gospel away that he is presenting. But when you have someone who is successful and people are trying to find fault with him, and then they come in and rip that apart, and that's not how the Bible says. The Bible says to go to them privately and talk to them. Well, he didn't want to do that because no one would know. So they go in and rip him apart. But anyhow, when Paul heard that the Judaizers were preaching and the influence that they were having on his converts in Galatia, he was surprised his converts were deserting the good news of free grace. They were leaving free grace to go back to some types of laws. We got to do something for God to save us. We've got to offer sacrifices. And people today say some of the same. I've got to do something I've got to do penance. I've got to, what's the one where they flag themselves and, they do all this in order to prove that they are doing something to be worthy of this calling. There was one lady, I think she was a Hindu and she had wooden blocks on her knees and wooden blocks on her hands, and she would stand up, kneel down, and reach out, and she did this for hundreds of miles to the shrine, and she had her kid tied to her on a rope, and the child had to follow along because she wanted to be worthy of this God that she was going to. So people have ways, they wouldn't accept free grace. So the gospel Paul's opponents were preaching was difficult, indeed different in substance, not a different gospel of the same kind. It was a sham gospel, no gospel at all. Most likely the Judaizers claimed to be pillars of the church, but they were shaking the foundation of the church. They were twisting the truth and turning things upside down by perverting the gospel, wanting to substitute justification by works for Paul's doctrine of justification by faith. So if you're going to get to heaven, you got to do certain things. I will give you those 10 rules in a little while. I want you to wait for them. No, that's not true. So Paul condemned whatever might preach another gospel, whoever might preach. Let him be accursed. So this presenting another gospel, it is bringing a curse on their life. So people who know, the false gospel, they're bringing a curse on them. I won't go into who, some denominations are doing, they're bringing a curse on themselves because they have they don't have a gospel, they have a way to get to heaven. And they are the only ones getting there. And if you're going to get there, you got to believe these framework of stuff, and has nothing to do with salvation. So this brings Paul to reflect on his own life before Christ and met him on the road. So then we go, verse 14 states he had advanced in Judaism beyond his contemporaries, and he had persecuted Christians and followed the way of the flesh. So Paul had, there was a group of students, and Paul had exceeded his class and the people who were with him. He had just, he was way above them. And and he was out there persecuting Christians, and he was going to Damascus, and he had a paper, he could arrest them. So the word translated servant can also be translated slave. Slave has overcome overtones of hard labor and mistreatment. So Paul was willing to face the mistreatment of serving Christ and continue the message. Then we have verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So Paul's telling them, this gospel that I have is a message from God. It's not a message from man. For I neither received it from a man, because they were saying, okay, now, he thought about this. When Paul talks about taking communion, and what book is it? Is it the Corinthians? Galatians? Paul says, I give to you that which I have received. When you read that one, I remember reading it, 50 years ago, whatever. Paul went and talked to the disciples and found out what they did on the Last Supper. That's why he knows and he writes it. No. He received this from Christ out in the desert while he was with Christ in the desert learning, being taught. 3 years he's out in the desert with Christ. And he's bringing, he's being taught. He knows the Old Testament, but he's being taught how that is that Christ is the fulfillment of all of those prophecies of the Old Testament. So whenever he's saying here, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached of me is not after man, he's saying, I didn't learn this from the disciples. I learned this from God. Now that is quite a claim. And, today, somebody would come up and say that's what they did and say, thank you very much. Check back with me in a year. it's not, I don't want to hear you, but you can go do your own ministry. Let me know what happens in a year. So most of them, I've never met one that has survived, because they were off on the, their boat didn't have any oars or a rudder. So, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul is now telling the Galatians, these Judaizers are messing with you, and the message that I gave you is from God himself. If Jesus Christ were teaching you, he would have taught you the very same things that I told you. Then verse 13 of chapter 1. For ye have heard of my conversion. So you've all heard what happened to me on the road to Damascus. In times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So he's telling them, I had no love for the church. I had no love for Christians. They were a sect of that people associated with Judaism, and I was going to straighten them out or kill them. So and profited. So he's still speaking of himself, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. So I rose to the top, and people who thought they were my equal weren't. of my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. The one thing about Paul is the zeal that he had to wipe out the church was the same zeal he had to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was still the same man, but he had a good heart. And, you know, he had a heart after God, and whenever he's killing Christians, he thought, this is what God wants me to do. And when he met God, he found out what God wanted him to do. So I was zealous for the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, so this is an interesting phrase. Paul says that when I was born, even while I was in my mother's womb, God has been working on me. So, all of us can basically say the same thing. God has been leading us and working on us even while we were yet in our mother's womb. Because Scripture even says that while you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, formed you. And, I basically put the call of God on your life. So it's been there since you were conceived. And some people just rebel against it, but the big part is he's been doing that for you. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Immediately, I conferred not. I did not go to the apostles to figure out what was going on. He went to Christ. So he's quite different. Then verse 18. Then after 3 years, where does he go? After his Damascus Road experience and his eyes are restored, Paul goes, for 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. So after 3 years, I went to see Peter. So he had spent his 3 years with Christ in the wilderness and in this revelation place that he began to understand how Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and he was be able to put all that together in his life. I went up to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. I could only take the guy for 15 days. Can you imagine these two type A personalities trying to talk to each other? What's that? Yeah, how'd they last that long? Peter would say, probably talking, John and Paul would say, yeah, Jesus told me that. Well, you weren't with him. So anyhow, they lasted 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none. So meaning he didn't go looking for all the rest of the apostles, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the thing which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. I am putting before you what God has given me. I'm not lying. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I saw him on the road to Damascus, and the people who are telling you there's another gospel are lying. I'm not lying. And afterwards, I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me. Boom. That's Paul. It's his beginning and his relationship in Galatia and the church that's kind of all messed up. Next week we do Galatians chapter 2. We continue the defending of the gospel that Paul is presenting to the church at Galatia. Amen. Any questions, thoughts? Father, we are indeed grateful to you for blessing us with your word, with our time together. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. We pray that you would guide us into all truth and let the truth of your gospel be the guiding light of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.